group, fourth on down, that's where you go. So, rest of you, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me in them to the eighth chapter of the book of John. John chapter 8, we'll begin looking at verse 12 of that chapter in a message we've titled, The Light and the Cross Current. Do you know what a cross current is? If you're a surfer, you probably know what a cross current is. Are they a good thing? They're not a good thing. The Webster's Dictionary online does, they define it this way. A cross current, number one, is a current running counter to the general forward direction. Or, I like number two even better, the number two definition, a conflicting tendency. And you say, well, that means, I know what that means. An example of that is my home, right? The things that are going on at my house, my girls are going one direction, I'm going another, there's a cross current. Now, I want you to know what this does not say. This is not going the exact opposite. It's not a current pulling against a current. It is a cross current. And you will see that in our text this morning. Turn with me there and we'll just read and you'll kind of see it going on. We'll not get to all these verses today, so rest easy. We're not going to try to preach all those verses today, but we'll. It is one thought. So we'll read it all together and then we'll break it up. Verse 12, then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I am, where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it. But I and the Father who sent me, even in your law, it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me. So they were saying to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one seized him because his hour had not come. Then he said again to them, I go away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. And he was saying to them, you are from below and I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they were saying to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, What have I been saying to you from the beginning? I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. They did not realize that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we open up the Word of God today, I pray that you will help us to understand it with great clarity, that you would help us to understand how this passage impacts our lives today. Though it was written over 2,000 years ago, it is still your word, and it is still living and powerful, and it still has instruction for us today, and instruction we desperately need to heed. We ask that you will help us to do that as we break this text down today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I hope you saw the cross current that was going there. There was not a direct pull against Jesus Christ in the opposite direction. I'll just point it out to you. That probably will help you to, as we unfold this passage today, to make sure that you don't miss the cross current. Jesus made a declaration. It was an I am statement. It is one of seven that is recorded in John's gospel. There are others that Jesus alluded to. Jesus didn't say, I am the living water in John. It's not recorded there, but remember what happened at the pool. He came pretty close as he talked with the Samaritan woman. If you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. Of course, he is speaking of himself, his own character, his own being. He is telling them about himself. And here's the reason why. If you don't genuinely know who Jesus Christ is and believe that he is what God's word says he is, you are separated from God for all of eternity. John's gospel tells us the very purpose I wrote this is so that you might believe and that you might have life. That's the very purpose of the book. And so as Jesus speaks, as John records what Jesus speaks, everything points to that. It is not enough to believe that Jesus existed. We've pointed it out time and again. The demons even believe that he exists. But they have no relationship. They are separated from all eternity, for all of eternity, from God. Even though they fear him and tremble, they do not have a relationship with him. John writes, Jesus came so that you and I might have a relationship with him. And so we can have life eternal and life abundant. This is the second of the great claims that Jesus made, the I am claims. You will remember way back, I don't know if that's too small for you to see. I had to make it small to fit everything on this slide. So you will remember the I am statement that came out of Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. You remember there where Moses is getting ready to go as the leader of the children of Israel. God has selected him. You're going to lead them out of Egypt, and Moses basically asked God, well, who shall I say sent me? And there in that 14th verse of Exodus chapter 3, God says to him, you tell them that the I am that I am sent you. Very distinct, very clear. God is saying, the self-existent, you tell him, the one who is self-existent, the one who has always been and who will always be sent you. That's who you tell. Now, Jesus, as we go through John's gospel, makes some I am claims, and I have suggested to you that Jesus is doing so on purpose, and that he is doing so to demonstrate to the Jews of his day that he also is claiming deity. Sometimes they got it, sometimes they didn't. But just so you don't miss it, I want you to go to John chapter 8, the 58th. We'll get there a little later down the road. But I want you to go to verse 58. Jesus says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, notice that, past tense, before Abraham was, past tense, before Abraham was born, past tense, I am, present tense. I've always been. That goes right along with John's opening, doesn't it? So these are the I ams. Jesus, we've already seen Jesus claimed, I am the bread of life. I am everything you need for spiritual nourishment. If you don't eat of me, if you don't partake of me, you will have no life. John 6. Here in this gospel, as we'll look at in some more detail today, Jesus makes this bold claim, I am the light of the world. John 10, he'll say, I am the door, or in some translations, I am the gate. We'll talk about that when we get there. He also says, I am the good shepherd. And I bet you can, in your mind, the good shepherd does what? Lays down his life for his sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. John 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And then finally, we'll get into John 15, where he makes the seventh of these I am statements. He says, I am the vine. Do you think Jesus wanted you to know him? I think Jesus wanted us to clearly understand who he was and put our faith and trust in who he truly is. It's an extremely important thing. I am, he is claiming to be God. Let's look at this one this morning. I am the light of the world. Now, I want you to notice, as we read, did you see what the cross current was? Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and we will see it, but they kind of ignore what he says. And all they hear is him talking about himself, and indeed he was. But they just immediately go cross current to him, and they basically say this, you're the only one testifying of you, you're alone, therefore what you're saying is not true. Whatever it is you're saying, they're not arguing what he's saying. They're not going to the Word of God and saying, this is proved wrong by this, this, and this. What they're doing is simply going cross to him, and they're just saying, you're not a true witness, you're a liar. That's what they're calling Jesus. They're going crossways to him. Now, I want you to understand, this is not the first time that they've gone cross-culture, cross-current to him. We've seen it. And this is not the first time that Jesus is referred to as light. Not even the first time in this gospel. Not even the first time in John's gospel. There are various places. John 1, verse 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the what? The light of men. John, the disciple John, is making this statement as he opens up the book. He is declaring Jesus Christ, not only to be life, but light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. John chapter 4. He continues on in verse 7 and 8 of that first chapter. He came as a witness to testify of the light. Speaking of John, the disciple is talking about John the Baptist. That he is John the Baptist, he came as a witness to testify about the light so that all may believe in him. He was not the light, John the Baptist was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. Jesus is the light. John chapter 3 also brings out Jesus as the light. Verse 19, this is the judgment that the light has come into the world and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. So when Jesus makes this statement, I am the light of the world, he is making a claim that we need to listen to, hear, and understand. Not to I don't want this to sound like a pun, but what Jesus says when he says, "I am the light of the world," sheds some light on what Jesus was teaching while he was in the temple. Remember earlier, do you remember earlier when we talked about Jesus showed up in the middle of this feast? He's there in the middle, in the temple. He's there in the courtyard and he begins to teach. And at that point, I said, we don't know what he was teaching. Do you remember? Because we didn't. There was nothing recorded right there. But guess what? It's a new day. And the Word of God records for us what Jesus is teaching, and he is teaching about himself. He is teaching about something, and it's interesting that the Bible notes for us where Jesus was teaching from. Anytime the Bible says something, there's a purpose for why it says it. You believe that? Sometimes we just don't know enough. Have you ever been in a situation where, like, maybe your house closing and they ask, do you have any questions? Do you understand it? And you're like, sign here. You don't even know enough about what questions you should ask, right? Sometimes life is like that. We don't even know what questions we should ask. And so here we are, Jesus is shedding light on what he's teaching through this passage of the Word of God. He is explaining a little bit about himself. I am the light of the world. It is a personal testimony, isn't it? It is a personal testimony. And so we begin to understand, as Jesus tells us what he is telling us, we begin to understand some of the teaching that was going on in that temple courtyard. We begin to understand where he was at exactly in that temple courtyard and why that is significant as we go through this message today. And then we will also look at how Jesus was teaching and how that ties together the Old Testament and the New Testament, the illustration from the old feeding into the new. It's a wonderful, wonderful passage, and there's so much here we could glean. We could spend a lot of time on this, but we'll move forward. Jesus was teaching about himself. That is significant. He was teaching, and John records for us all of these I am passages because it's extremely important, if you're going to have true faith, that you understand those characteristics, the makeup of the Lord Jesus. He says here, I am the light of the world, and I want you to notice that it is singular. It's not plural. I'm not one of the lights. I am the light. In actuality, what he is saying is, I am the only light. There is no other light other than me. It's an exclusive statement. And the reality is, folks, when we talk about Christianity, you need to understand that there is not a lot of tolerance in one respect when we talk about, you say, what do you mean? I thought we were supposed to be loving and kind. We are, but watch this. When we get to John chapter 14 and Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's a very exclusive statement. The world says there are many ways. The world says what you believe is okay for you and what I believe is okay for me. You get there how you get there and I'll get there how I get there. And Jesus said, I'm the only way. There's no other way. And dear Christian, we should not be ashamed of that. Nor should we back down from that. That's what Jesus himself said. His word is not unclear. We need to grapple with that as we communicate the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also need to grapple with the fact that he is the only way. And though people may be sincere, if they don't understand who the Jesus is of the Word of God, they will go to an eternity separated from God. He is the only way. He is the only way. And I want you to notice that when Jesus makes that statement, I am the light of the world, he did not say, I am the light of the Jews, of the nation of Israel. He very clearly said, I am the light of the world. Now, I will tell you, had those who were listening to Jesus really been listening to him and really understood what he was saying, I dare say they would have taken great exception to that. Jews at this point thought they were pretty special. They were God's chosen people after all. And so many of them had this mindset that they got into heaven because their DNA went back through Abraham, and that is just not the case. As you look at this, you have to begin to ask yourself this question. When we talk about Jesus making this statement, I am the light of the world, what is he saying? What is he actually saying? Is he saying he's a million-watt bulb and that he puts off light, the physical light? Is he radiating energy? Is he glowing? Well, let me just say, no, that's not what he's saying, but it is interesting to think about when the Lord does show himself in any bit of his glory, it is a magnificent spectacle of light. It is radiating. When Moses went up on the mountain and spent any time with God, what happened when he came down? He was glowing. From being in the presence of Almighty God, he was glowing. He was radiating. But that's not what Jesus is saying. And really what we see here is a picture that we begin to develop throughout all of Scripture, Old and New Testament, concerning light. And here Jesus is basically equating light with life. Look at this. In him was life, and life was the light of men. Life was light. If you go to Psalm 43, verse 3, it says this, oh, set out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling place. Light there is seen as what? A direction giver, a help along the way, leading us, guiding us, directing us. Now, I'll remind you what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? Light unto my path. It's direction. Your word does that for me. Interestingly enough, how does John start his gospel? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Guess what, class? The Lord Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. He is communicating God to us. At this point, he is communicating God in the flesh to those who happened to live, had the privilege of living while he walked upon the face of the earth. We'll see it time and time again throughout the New Testament. Jesus says to them, we even had it read in our adult Sunday school class. I didn't pay them to put it in there. It was just there. This statement, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I am the exact representation of God the Father. There is no distinction. There is no difference. I am radiating his glory. Isaiah says this in chapter 2, verse 5, come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. So when we talk about light, we understand that light helps us to see, don't we? It helps us to know the direction we should go. Have you ever tried to get around in the dark? Maybe your spouse is sleeping and you have to get up and go to work, and you forgot to lay out your clothes the night before, and you're trying to find clothes that match, and you're bumping and stumbling and tripping over things that you forgot to put away? Or, I mean, have you had that happen? You ever made it up to camp, up to a campground without a flashlight? It gets really dark and you can't see where you're going, but you have to make your way through the woods to the outhouse. It's a terrible thing to be in the dark. It's a dangerous thing to be in the dark. Even clear back in Isaiah's prophecy, there is this invitation, come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Here Jesus Christ is in Jerusalem, in the temple, in the courtyard of the temple, and he is proclaiming, I am the light of the world. You want direction? Here I am. Here I am. Light is also seen in a number of ways through Scripture. It can be wisdom, walk in wisdom and in understanding. Let us have a clear understanding. If we're in darkness, even in our English language, we understand this picture, don't we? We talk about somebody being a dim bulb. What does that mean? Well, they're not too bright. They don't understand. But if somebody understands, the light's turned on, right? When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he is, interestingly enough, in the temple courtyard. Now, you've heard me say that, but let me explain a little further of where he's at, because it does become significant. If you look down in verse 20, there is a precise location that is given to us where Jesus is located. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. So, was this treasury a building off some place with all of the offerings and tithes and it was the where? No, it was in the woman's courtyard. You understand how the temple was laid out? There was the outer courtyard, which is for Gentiles, for people that could come, and they could worship and pray to Jehovah God, but that if you were a Gentile, that's as far as you went. Then there was the next courtyard, which happened to be for Jews and for Jews, male and female. It was referred to as the courtyard of women because that was as far as women could go. In that courtyard was the treasury. In that courtyard was where Jesus is at this very moment in time. It's not that only women were there. Men could go there too. Jewish men could go there too. But ladies, don't worry. It gets even more exclusive than that. There was another courtyard that only the priests could go in. Just not any man could go in. And then there was the Holy of Holies that only the high priest could go in, and he could only go in how many times a year? Once. So it was in this place, the woman's courtyard, where the treasury was, that they were teaching. Well, why does this become significant? Well, Jewish history tells us, you can go and look this up, Jewish history tells us it was in this very courtyard where they lit huge lanterns during the Feast of Tabernacles. And there was all kinds of ritual and ceremony that went along with it. It was a great time of celebration. Now, I remind you that the feast is already at least half over. Actually, it's probably approaching the end of the feast. 7-day period of time. It was a time of remembrance. It was a time of remembering how God delivered them through the wilderness while they lived in tents as nomads, how he led them along their path. Now, what in the world would those giant torches that were lit symbolize? Well, guess what? None other than the presence of God in the flaming pillar that guided them and protected them and led them for 40 years. Each night these torches were lit. Each night they were lit with significance and meaning. And some of the historians say they were such bright lights that there wasn't a courtyard in all of Jerusalem that wasn't lit up by them. Now that might be hyperbole, but you know, it doesn't take much light to dispel darkness, does it? The only point here is they were great lights symbolizing the presence of God and how he led them through the wilderness with that great pillar of light. The truth of the matter is that light, that flaming pillar, was used along with the pillar of clouds by day to lead the children of Israel. You know how it worked. If that was moving, they moved. If that stayed still, they stood still. We saw it as they approached the Red Sea and they got trapped between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea. Where was the pillar of fire? Well, it was between them. You can go back and check me out if you don't remember. But it was between them. God wasn't going to let anything happen to his people. He was there, and he was protecting them. And he led them, even though they were rebellious, even though they were hard-headed, stiff-necked people, he led them. For 40 years, his grace, his power demonstrated his love and his commitment to the nation of Israel through this tool of the flaming fire. It was a symbol of the very presence of God in their midst. And so Jesus says, can you almost see it? Are you there almost in your mind's eye in the courtyard of the women? Jesus is there sitting, teaching. They're lighting the grand torches, and people begin to celebrate, and Jesus cries out, I am the light of the world. Those lights protected and guided Israel, but I am the guiding light of all humanity. I am the way. This pillar provided warmth, and you can imagine the celebrations that were going on as they recalled God's blessing. As they lit those, that's when the party got started. As the feast came to a conclusion, there was more and more celebrating that would go on. And Jesus says, this all points to me. And if you will follow me, you will not walk in darkness. You will not walk in darkness. You'll be brought into the light. You'll experience the warmth of the relationship that you can have with God the Father. You'll understand my protection over you. You will understand that I will guide you and direct you. You will not be in darkness. You won't lack wisdom. You will know, and I will help you. The Holy Spirit of God will take up residence in your life and will teach you. You will not be in darkness. In other words, you will not be separated from God. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. They will be in the presence of God. There will be celebration. All of that will be yours. And as I only got about halfway through my message, boy. Only those teaching the adult Sunday school class understand how difficult this is. Let me just show you this. This passage, I believe, does more than just say, come to Christ. come to the light, accept the light, believe in the light, accept his direction, accept his presence. It says more than that. I think it also is saying to you, Christian, to me, Christian, that if we are truly in the light, there will be a marked change in our lives. There will be, and this is something I think that we need to grapple with. Then Jesus spoke and said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. In other words, you will live a holy life separated from sin. You say, well, I'm not there yet. Am I unsaved? I sin all the time, and what does it mean, walk in darkness? Well, I think it's this. I don't know that this helps you much, but will not live in a pattern of darkness. That should make each one of us do some soul searching, shouldn't it? If our lives are not focused on a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, focused on following his light and upon following the wisdom that he declared to us through his word and through his life, if we're not working and walking towards following in that, if that's not our pattern, that's not our goal, that's not our aim, then there's a good indication that we aren't truly his. That doesn't mean you don't sin. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we lie. We know that we will be changed when we see Jesus. We will be gloriously, wonderfully changed. We will be like him, for we shall see him, Scripture tells us, as he is. But what is the pattern of your life? What is the focus of your life? What is the direction of your life? Where are you going? Young people, are you concerned about living for Jesus Christ, or you're concerned about yourself? Older people, are you concerned about your own comforts? Have you okayed your sin for so long that you have grown complacent? It's a pattern of your life. When does it become a pattern? That's between you and God. God sets that. I don't know where that boundary is, but the admonition is don't sin, right? The admonition is walk in the light, follow the direction. But we'll pick it up here in 2 weeks, Lord willing. We'll pick it up here. We've got to look at the darkness. What does the darkness symbolize? We'll give you a hint. Distress, throughout the pages of Scripture, it symbolizes distress, mourning, ignorance, death, disease, and judgment. Why do I say 2 weeks? Because next week, I hope you will come and hear our special speaker, Pastor Cleve Klukas, will be with us, but I will not be. Lord willing, I'm flying to Texas to see Grace graduate from her advanced training. And so I will be in absentia, but I hope you will not be. So we'll pick up here in 2 weeks, Lord willing. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your love for us, for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ who came to shine as light in a dark world. We pray, Lord, that the light will shine in and through us.